everyone, and welcome to our limited edition podcast for Decoded Pride Issue 2. We are super pumped to have you with us, and today we're speaking with a small round table of creators about their creative process, why queer speculative fiction matters so much, and where you can pick up our amazing new anthology. Spoiler, it's at decodedpride.com.
Hey everybody, we have a few people on this call, so I'm just gonna have everybody introduce themselves and say what their story is.
Hey, I am Dora D. Rogers, she, her. My story was Delin at the Shrine, and it is a sort of fantasy adventure about two women exploring an abandoned temple.
Hi, my name is Maurice Moore, and my story is called Sugar and Cece, and it's about two queer teenagers from the South who go on an adventure.
Hello, my name is Ariadne, and my story is called The Iliad Improved. It's a comic about the three goddesses, Athena, Aphrodite, and Artemis, finding love with each other.
Yeah, I love all of these stories, so this is extremely exciting to be able to talk to everybody. I just wanted to ask everybody, I know that inspiration always comes in so many different ways, and you know, it's every different story has its own process behind it. So what was the inspiration behind your story? What was the thing that made you want to write the story that you ended up writing for Decoded?
I can start. So Delin at the Shrine is, if I had to say, give one single inspiration, I might say the novel The Raven Tower by Anne Leckie, which is a fantasy novel that centers around a transmasculine protagonist and has a few other queer characters. And a lot of the really memorable moments in that book were moments where these queer people were talking to each other about their identities, but they didn't have modern language. And I just thought that was really interesting, and it intersects with something that I find really fascinating, and I think I wish was better known in sort of like mainstream culture, which is that queerness and, you know, gender diversity have existed throughout human history, not necessarily with the language that we have today, but they've always sort of been with us in one form or another. And it's really exciting to me because it, you know, means that there is this whole history and legacy, and, you know, it means that we may, like, you know, our terminology may not actually be better than the terminology that people had in some place 1,000 years ago. But that's really exciting, you know, that we're connected to this whole history. So those are the two of the things that were twining together in my mind when I wrote Delin at the Shrine.
The Iliad Improved, like I said before, is a short comic book about how the Iliad, Homer's epic, could have been more inspiring and less misogynistic. What inspired me to write it is that I've grown up in a very traditional Greek community here in Athens. And ancient Greece was always a big thing in this country, where you're supposed to follow certain rules and traditions and a way of life in order to honor your ancestors, even though our ancestors would not care about any of these things. And growing up, I loved our tradition, but at the same time, I always felt it excluded queer people a lot, and I really disliked the misogyny in it. So my inspiration was the need to see Greek gods think what Greek gods do best, be gay, do love. And I wanted to see the goddesses be on to each other's good side and not fight as they usually do. That's my inspiration.
My story was inspired by a lot of different things. I think it interesting that we have so many queer ancestors that we don't know about, and there's so many queer people that we don't know about now, but I like to think that we're passing on wealth to our descendants. So I wanted to tell a love story about our future descendants, just falling in love, just dating, like, you know, some young people do, or just having crushes. So that was sort of the inspiration behind Sugar and Cece, just some of the things I didn't get to do growing up. I, in a way, kind of lived that, like, first loves and being out or things like that, through some of the pieces that I write.
And I thought this reading the stories too, that there's a really strong through line between the three pieces. Because I think I could have predicted like both of your answers to some degree. And because they're very close to mine in a lot of ways, right? It's sort of writing our stories into both into history and also into like genres where we don't usually see it. Ariadne, I was really excited when I read your comic because it's certainly my story is not in a historical place, but I've always loved like ancient Greece and you know, that era in history and mythology, and I very much had it in mind as I was kind of thinking about and making assumptions about the world, about the way that temples worked and the way religion worked and the way that people fight with each other. So I was really excited to see that through line, and I feel like there's a real yearning for ancestry or connection with the past in all three of our pieces. And I think that's really cool.
I mean, I absolutely agree with you. I think that regardless of whether one lives and grows up in a place with, you know, a long history like Greece or in places like the United States that are kind of more modern, that longing for roots is there, especially for queer people. Like, I would be really curious to hear your take on it, because it's interesting that we always need to find representations of ourselves in our past to feel good about ourselves. And we need to make these representations not harmful or toxic for us, because at least for me, that was a very big problem growing up, you know, family telling me that our ancestors would be rolling in their graves if they knew how the young people live. I just want to hear what you have to say.
Oh, well, I was going to say, you mentioned about the gods or, you know, not fighting. And I think that's very interesting, because I was thinking about, when people think about like people of the African-American diaspora, it's always about our blues. And I think that we have more hues than blues. So I think the blues and sorrows, that's things that are important. But I don't want everything I create to be about violence and abuse and the things that we like suffer. I want it to be about our joys. So there may be obstacles that the characters have to overcome, but there's something about writing things that aren't just centered around our suffering. I feel like a lot of stories can sort of rely on those tropes. So my characters are queer and they live to the end. And if they do, you know, pass away, it's through like natural causes, and, you know, they can become elders and senior citizens. So that's what I think is interesting about us being able to write our stories on our own terms.
Yeah, I think that's true and really great. And I think there's an interesting continuum. Like, I've got to say, for people who haven't read the stories yet, like, I think that Maurice, you and I have, like, both of our stories are really fun and combine a degree of, like, there's a lot of emphasis on finding hope in kind of dark or challenging situations. And then Ariadne, I just loved, like, yours is so fun and light and joyous, and I really love that. I think it's, I think, to your point, Maurice, just, like, adding joy to these kinds of stories is really wonderful, and this is a really good opportunity for us to do it.
Yeah, definitely. I think that desire to kind of put yourself into the past in some ways, or at least see yourselves in some parts of it, right, is to be like, and to be like, yes, there was always queer people and there was always joy is definitely something, of course, that is pretty dear to our heart. So I am glad to hear that from everybody. So I was going to ask, everybody has kind of a different format that they wrote. There's obviously a short story format. There is Suga and Cece, which was kind of transcript, right? And then there is a comic. So how was there a big conscious decision behind how you chose what format in which to tell the story?
Well, I'll go first. My format kind of reads like a script, and I do that because I love movies, I love film. I grew up on, you know, MTV and television and that era, and there's something about how just that it looks like a script, it kind of easier for me to like envision that I'm watching a play or a movie. But also I'm neurodiverse, so I've always had issues with writing and spelling and keeping the characters separate. It helps it not get jumbled up in my head when I am writing. So I use this script format to like kind of help me with my neurodiversity and things like that. So that's sort of how I chose this format. I also am a visual artist, so it's interesting to kind of blur the lines and kind of play with the sort of so-called standard way of writing and engaging with art. I feel that a lot of queer spaces seem to promote experimentation with different forms. There's a lot of fluidity, so I definitely try to play on that with the pieces that I create.
That's really interesting to hear. You're a visual artist, and I can see how it expresses itself in the work. There were a few moments where I was like, oh, that's really interesting to sort of like engage with the visuals of this in that specific way. And it makes a lot of sense that you have that background. I think that's really cool.
On my part, the reason for choosing a comic book format is both because obviously, like, I love comic books. This is kind of what I want to do in my life as a career, to illustrate. But there's also another issue. Like, the comic book scene in Greece is a very independent-minded scene where you're going to find people doing all sorts of styles because there is no real industry here. So there's profit is cannot distort what people want to do here. But whenever it comes to antiquity, like the Greek gods are always portrayed as muscly and realistic and, you know, great and powerful. And I just thought it would be very fun to just do away with all of that and present them as cute and curvy and sweet and, you know, just raise the middle finger to how narrow-minded we view them, because we treat them as if, I don't know, they were part of the Expendables or a Sylvester Stallone film these days. And that's not how I like to think of my cats.
I love that. For Dylan at the Shrine, I think that the it's interesting. I'm sort of not sure now that I think about it why I went in this direction, but the inspirations are definitely very like kind of pointedly literary, actually. I mentioned The Raven Tower by Anne Leckie. It was also the one of the strong things I mean, one of the setting of the story is this temple that's on top of a mountain, and the image of the mountain and like the snow, you know, this is like very high, rocky, snowy mountain was one of the first things that I had. And in a lot of ways, like I was actually thinking of the Fellowship of the Ring when I wrote that. So that's interesting. I don't actually know the character Conan at all, like Conan the Adventurer, but the title is kind of intentionally a nod to Conan, and like I kind of wanted to call on the idea that this adventurer Delon might have other adventures and they might have had a long career, and this is one moment in that career as they're exploring the world around them. So it really was, I think mine is probably the most traditional prose fiction, and it feels like that really flowed out of the influences that I was thinking about as I wrote it.
Kind of to that end, is there anything about your story that you plan on revisiting or exploring further in the future?
I can speak to this first, maybe, since I just dropped that. Not consciously, but I do really like the idea that the framework is there and that the character is there. Because the unspoken reason that I wrote this story is that I just wanted like a trans lady to go ham with a sword. So, there's always opportunity for more of that, I guess, now that mm-hmm. I have the character. But, it's funny, like this particular piece for me was pretty tough to write, and I wrote it like, I essentially rewrote it completely 3 times, and a lot of it was because I was sort of exploring all of these things around the story that I ended up writing, which is like, you know, it's the climax of this larger story, if you want to think of it that way. So I have all of these things now that I've written down about like the city that one of the characters is from and like their traveling companions who they talk about but you don't really meet. So yeah, there's some interesting material to work with there, and it might be fun to come back to eventually.
I personally love drawing anything related to antiquity in general. So, yes, even just the setting is one that I revisit constantly. So this is not the only ancient Greek kind of thing, related thing that I do. I would personally love if I could, write down scripts about the Greek gods living their life in all sorts of different ways that are not conventional. I think it's a very rich, culture to make fun of and have fun with. That's all.
Yes, I do definitely plan on revisiting different aspects of the story. I think it's interesting because I write short stories. So like, you know, if Shug and Cece get together, they have babies, they have grandbabies and things like that. I like in the worlds that I create that all the characters are queer and they have, you know, they're, you know, some of them are together, some of them not, but, you know, they have kids, and I like that I leave it open to, like, how they have kids. But I just have this way of imagining our families kind of being centered and not it being, like, some, you know, wow, I can't believe you people are together, but, like, you know, it's just, like, I wouldn't say normal, but it's just how things are, and it isn't questioned. So I think revisiting the characters in different way, like their ancestors or their descendants, is sort of how I want to revisit it. But I'm also interested in like doing maybe drawings or like coming up with performances to kind of add to the story. So just revisiting them in different ways.
That is so interesting. Yeah, I notice, I guess, as you go along, right, everybody kind of has themes and things that they revisit over time. Was there anything that you learned about your own creative process while you were working on these stories?
Oh, does anyone else want to go first?
No, you go for it.
I learned that I can never be too happy with what I do. Honestly, it was kind of a pain in the butt to do this comic because first I did concept art for it and then I was not happy with it, even though I knew the script. Basically, it kind of forced me to start thinking about when enough is enough, when I need to drop the drafts and just go on with the work and tell to myself, okay, Ariadne, you're going to take a deep breath. I know you're not happy with it, but you're going to have to live with whatever imperfection you see and, allow yourself to finish the work because you're never going to be 100% happy with it. And It's the first time I've tried to do like a story kind of thing. Usually I do strips. So it was pretty fun to experiment with that.
I definitely echo what you said about always having to... this is a lesson I feel like I know about myself, but I always have to relearn it. That, you know, it's you really just have to walk away or you'll never actually finish. The big thing, I mean, along those lines, I mentioned that I did a lot of rewriting for this, which was very informative. I was going to say but I think it's actually, and that was very informative about my process. I'm very something I noticed about myself writing this is that I'm very logistical and I like to get into the details of who's moving and where people are and do they have enough to eat while they're there and these very sort of mundane details. And I have sort of action sequences in mind and I was very got very caught up in the choreography of that. And I always want to explore things. I think a lot of the reason why I write is to sort of ask myself questions about the story that I'm telling. So I would say, I really want to get to know these characters I'm referring to. So even though they're not really central to the story, I'm just gonna learn about them and have some conversations that they have. And later on, I would sort of be like, okay, I've created an unholy mess. I need to really cut this down and focus on the stuff that has the most heat and is the most interesting. So I'd say those are all things that I kind of knew about my creative process, but I think that this was made a lot of things really clear to me that I haven't necessarily been as clear on before.
In terms of me, my creative process, I'm a visual artist performer, but I mainly think about the work that I create is drawing. So there are 2D drawings, but can there be 3D drawings? Can it be 4D drawings? Can there be text pieces? So for me, the line exists through different mediums, and the line is just as thick or thin or easy or hard as they are in the text pieces and they are in my 2D pieces. But I am applying a lot of things that I've learned in drawing to the different ways that I write. So when I write these short stories, I'm thinking of gesture drawings. They're really quick, and you just write and then, you know, that's the end of the piece. You're not spending months on it. Another thing I added is to think about language. So I'm using a lot of Southern AV, that's African-American vernacular English, vernacular. So I'm thinking about how language is definitely, it has power, but it's also used against us. So I think that the power we have is queer people to invent our own languages or reclaim our own languages or how we talk to each other in our expressions. I definitely want to put that in the work because I feel like that's not, we celebrate it, but I feel like that's not celebrated sort of as a whole or seen as equal in a lot of different ways. So my process has just been to and writing is very new to me, which is a like, but it can be scary. So it's I don't know when to stop or, I know when to start, but it just gets complicated. But I just try to apply some things that I've learned from visual arts to the way I write.
Yeah, definitely. I think it works really well. Is there a genre that you haven't written in that you would like to give a try coming up in the future?
This is an interesting question. So I think that the big one for me, which this story is not... Okay. Delaneth of the Shrine is not a romance. It has some romantic elements, which are very important to me. Mm-hmm. I really want to write just a straight fantasy novel. Excuse me. When I say that, what I mean is a very gay fantasy novel.
Right.
I would love to just write 300 pages of girls staring into each other's eyes, but then they're sad because of something. But then they can be together. So that's definitely my answer.
So basically you want to write Lord of the Gays or
Oh yeah, I'm there. Lord of the Gay Ring. And at the end, the rings are their wedding rings that they exchange. They hold hands. They look into each other's eyes.
Would read. Just saying.
I mean, if I can say something before anyone else comments, I think that's actually, it's really fun to hear you say this, because that reminds me of how people were looking for gay context in stuff like The Lord of the Rings, Sam's and Frodo's relationship. Yep. And to me, that was always kind of mysterious, because like here in the Balkans, guys hug and kiss each other all the time as a sign of friendship. So it was, you know, really weird to see people thinking that two guys being friends is equivalent to gayness. And I'm like, yeah, I wish someone would write actual gay fantasy. So please do it. I would die to read it.
Awesome. They should just kiss on that mountain. There's just like none of this holding hands stuff. That's really funny to hear you had that experience, you know, relating to the, you know, the phenomenon around those movies. Because obviously, yeah, in the U.S. it really is. It's tough. A lot of times it's really looked down on for guys to be physically affectionate with each other.
Okay, I'll go. It's my turn, but can someone remind me what the question was?
Yeah, of course. I was wondering if I needed to say it again, because I also kind of, I was on a tangent thinking about things. All right, so is there a genre that you haven't written in that you'd like to try? Like, is there anything that you haven't, any realm that you haven't really ventured into, I guess, as a creator that you'd like to go into?
Oh, well, normally what the genre writing is horror. That's my kind of thing. But the genre that I'm always extremely afraid of is comedy. Because I don't know, like, it's always very difficult to find the confidence to say, this is actually funny. This can make people smile and have a laugh. Without it being cruel, because that's sort of the most of the comedy I see around us. And if anyone has any comedy to recommend that's not cruel, that's actually funny and sweet, I would love to hear that. So that's kind of what I want to do. You know, I would want to sit down and write sweet comedy about how ridiculous this whole culture I live in and love is, and, you know, make fun of the very silly things about it. Like, I'm always frustrated when I watch Greek comedies that people outside of Greece, Greek and Balkan comedies in general, the people outside of Greece watch, because I feel like it's only the stereotypes, you know, for example, the stereotype of the Greek person who thinks that Greeks invented everything. And I know that there is so much more ridiculousness going around here, and there's so much material to push out there. And yeah, that's all.
I guess for me, like I said, I come from a drawing background, and for me, I found that when you draw, people tend to think there are only two genres, like people who draw were only trying to make photorealistic drawings, and then everything else is abstract. So for me, I'm thinking about, like, you know, what are bebop drawings, what are pop drawings, what are country drawings, what are classical drawings, just as many different genres as I can create and kind of explore is, you know, what I want to do. But for me, I do this thing that I learned in school. It's called practices research. So it's not just reading theory and the criticism. It's like there's a knowing coming from writing science fiction. So just to throw yourself and immerse yourself in there, and then what happens, happens. So like that's kind of how I'm approaching my creative process now. And just seeing what kind of comes out of me as a creator. Because I didn't know so many people of color and queer people wrote, you know, science fiction and fantasy and stuff like that. So it's like learning about Octavia Butler, in the worlds that she created. Like, I knew we could act in films, you know, like things like that, but I didn't know that we actually could create science fiction or speculative fiction or all these different worlds. And I know that we existed, but it's just, you know, people either don't talk about their queerness or their race that we just don't know necessarily growing up. So it's just interesting to kind of approach it that way.
What made you choose to submit to Decoded? Do you submit stories often to a variety of collections, or was this your first submission? Where was everybody at on that?
This was actually my first submission, at least in a long time, and I'm trying to get back on that horse a little bit. I guess I have kind of a cute story about why I submitted to Decoded in particular, which is that I had sort of made a resolution that I was going to start writing more, and I had been, but I, you know, wasn't even thinking yet about getting anything published anywhere. And my girlfriend sent me a link to Decoded and was like, "I challenge you to submit to this," which I then did. So that's my Decoded origin story.
That's so cute.
Best girlfriend ever.
She is. She's great. Shout out, Allison.
Well, I'm new to writing. I maybe started like writing text maybe in 2018. It's just something I continued, but the past year I just decided I wanted to learn more about the publishing industry and what it's like to work with editors in this field. This could be a field for me in the future. So I definitely want to find as many queer and Black and POC-centered and neurodiverse-centered publications as I can. There's just a lot of freedom in these publications, and that, you know, they don't charge you. You can have simultaneous submissions, and you can kind of be more open about who you are, your queerness, and they don't, follow so many rules about, the language that we write in, or the grammar, spelling. So that's why, you know, publications like Decoded kind of were perfect for me. So,
What I liked about Decoded is the fact that it's a bunch of queer people from all around the world. There's nothing that can hold me back in terms of expressing myself. And it feels like an anthology that is very interested to readers who are queer, and that means I felt that I didn't need to censor myself in any way. You know, I didn't need to think, oh God, there's gonna be like this is straight person that may get the wrong idea by reading my story about how, you know, gay people or trans people are. And I just could express myself freely, and that's what I loved about Decoded.
Yeah, awesome. I'm so glad. So I just have one last question, which is, what is coming up for you? What's going to be the next thing that you work on?
I don't have anything to announce, but I am, like I said, I am sort of getting out and pounding the pavement virtually and trying to submit to a bunch of places. So I hope to have more in the future. I've also been, to mention my girlfriend again, Allison's a game designer, and I've been doing a lot of work with her on this and that, collaborating on things in that space. Right now, although depending on when this airs, this may no longer be true. I don't know, but depending on when you're listening to this, this may or may not be true. But right now, some of my work is on sale at TCAF, the Toronto Comic Arts Festival, at the Soft Chaos booth, which is her co-op.
So what's coming next for me is I'm also going to partake in a small Kickstarter about trans experiences very, very shortly. And I have more queer comics coming on. But my main thing is I'm trying to become a horror illustrator, and I have a project called Vessels of Flesh, and I plan to just dedicate 24/7 my entire time onto this and trying to make, you know, lovely, queer, sexy horror. That's kind of my big dream, and maybe publish an art book. So, you know, if somebody listens to this interview, like, in 2040, I hope I made it. That's all I can say.
What's next? I'm just publishing and exhibiting a lot of different work. I hope to do collaborations with other creatives in the future, because I think it would be interesting if someone could sign or like in Black American Sign Language, or maybe there is a Afro-Latinx vernacular Spanish. So I think it would be interesting to kind of see a piece that I create kind of translate it into different ways of knowing and speaking. So that's probably what I want to do next.
So excited for what everybody has coming up. Is there anything else that you want people to know about your story before we say goodbye?
I want people to know that it's a story I made with a lot of love. I hope it brings a smile on their face. And if you're also from a culture like mine that tends to take itself too seriously, never feel guilty about, you know, wanting to go against that, because life doesn't have to be, you know, full on serious all the time and grunt. It's more fun when it's just lighthearted, and my brain started working, but you get the point.
I just want to say that if anybody ever makes fan art of my characters, you should tweet it at me, and I hope you ship them as much as I do.
I guess for me, I grew up and I didn't have a lot of, I don't remember a lot of love stories, you know, growing up, besides Pedro and Sean from The Real World. Those were like the first two queer people of color that I ever saw, like, being together in a relationship, and they weren't like accessories, and they were actually in love and together. So like, that's sort of what I want people to take away from the story. It's just a simple love story.
Oh, that's so amazing. Everyone, it has been so amazing chatting. Does anybody else have any more questions?
I just kind of want to say that I hope things go so well that we manage to meet at some point and discuss these stories face to face, because I would love to meet all of you. That's all.
Yes, I completely agree.
Yes, the same. I opened the folder. I was like, oh, wow, there's so many amazing stories and the visuals. So, like, that was very beautiful. So thank you both.
Yes, absolutely. And it's been really nice talking to you as well.
For me, it's been incredibly nice talking to all of you. This is amazing. I loved all of your stories once again. I probably can't say that enough, but as an editor, of course, we had so, so many people send stuff in that was just so, so good. And I just loved every single one we chose. I loved many, many that we didn't get to choose. And I'm so glad all of you got into the anthology. And it is because your stories are incredible once again. So thanks everybody for listening. Of course, if you want to support Decoded Pride, you can go to decodedpride.com and buy a subscription for, I believe, $15 now, and that helps us do our thing. So today we heard from Maurice Moore. They can be found on Instagram at Maurice_Moore_art. That's Maurice, and then Moore. And then also can be found on Twitter under Maurice_arts. Dora D. Rogers can be found on Twitter at Dora D_. So that's DoraDee_. You can also find her work at dcity.itch.io. So that's DeeCity.itch.io. Ariadne can be found on Instagram at ARIADNETZN. That's where you're going to find the Safe for Work stuff, the not Safe for Work horror stuff. You can find at Vessels of Flesh on Twitter or at artstation.com/Vessels of Flesh. Vessels is VESSELSOFFLESH. Thanks again for everybody. And of course, I'm Sarah Century. You can find me at sarahcentury.com or on Twitter at Sarah Century. You could follow my Instagram, but it's mostly pictures of my cats. Depending on what your level of interest in that is, I kind of don't follow people back too much. But it's nothing personal. Feel free to partake in the cat pics if you'd like.